It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. United States Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Joe Wadlow is the founder of the Fallen Marine Motorcycle Run. He's also one of the honorees at this year's Tribute to Veterans, sponsored by the Veterans Leadership Program of Western Pennsylvania. He's joining us now in studio to discuss his service to our country and fellow veterans. Joe Wadlow, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Great to have you.
Thank you. Nice being here.
And also with us is Shawnell Wade, who served 4 years in the U.S. Army Reserve. As a mother of three young children, she reached out for help from the Veterans Leadership Program, and she joins us in studio to share her story with us today. Shawnell Wade, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
Joe Wadlow, you served in Vietnam. I want to get into your story because it is so fascinating, and you are certainly someone that people have gotten to know through the way that you've honored your fallen comrades and the way that you've reached out to some of those that are suffering through making the transition back to civilian life. What made you want to join the Marines in the first place? You did this at a time in the 60s as the Vietnam War was escalating.
Vietnam was really starting to heat up in 66, and I was due to graduate in June of 1966
from high
school.
Yeah.
And because I had been, I had missed a part of my ninth grade year in high school, I had to repeat ninth grade. So I was already 18, able to join on my own, didn't need parents' signature. So I cut class at senior one day in May in 1966, and I hitchhiked downtown Pittsburgh and went to the federal building and said I want to be a Marine.
And this decision disappointed your father. Explain.
Oh, my God.
Explain
well,
why.
His brother was a Navy lifelong recruiter, and he had an office in Westview, which would have been my recruiting area. And he and my father had this agreement that when I graduated, I would join the Navy. And he had kind of planned my future for me, and I was a bit of a rebel back then, and maybe still decided I wanted to do what I wanted to do.
Still a rebel?
Still.
Okay. Well, you trained at Parris Island, now, and this is a place that has a reputation for being very tough. Describe your experience there.
Well, I really did not like any authority, and that was the wrong place
to
go.
So you joined the Marines.
Well,
so
I did
why
it,
not?
I did it to punish myself, I think, to see if I could take the challenge on, and I really enjoyed the challenge, and I kind of rose to the top. I was put in a position of the right guide, which is the Marine that stands out in front of the rest of them with a flag, and everybody follows them. And when the drill instructors were not in the building, I was put in charge of the whole platoon. So as a 19-year-old high school graduate being thrust into this position, I enjoyed the challenge and I took on the responsibility.
And you saw fierce combat in Vietnam. You saw comrades die. And when your tour of duty was over, I'm curious about what it was like readjusting to civilian life, because I'm sure this had to have been an eye-opening experience and maybe more than you expected.
Well, my experience in Vietnam as a rifleman was probably the most difficult thing, because I actually walked in the villages, carried a gun, dug a hole to sleep in every night, and about once every 5 or 6 weeks I would go to a place where we'd get a hot shower and a hot meal. So it wasn't like I was in a secure area. So transitioning back into civilian life was difficult, because it was like a 5 or 6 day transition period. So I literally went from living in a foxhole to staying in a house that had bedrooms and cooking facilities and bathrooms, things that I was not used to. So it wasn't an easy transition.
You found a unique way of paying tribute to your fallen comrades. Tell us about what that is.
Well, I have a couple of, I think, unique ways. I don't know if you're speaking to the motorcycle.
Well, that would be one of them.
Well,
This is for anybody who's ever been to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, this is sort of a moving, mobile version of that.
Yes. In fact, I titled it The Wall That Moves, because it not only moves physically, it moves emotionally. We have had numerous reunions of our members who survived and came back, who served with my company in Vietnam. And at one point, I said I wanted to know how many guys were killed, and do we have their names? And it took about 10 or 12 years to accumulate all those names. And we finally, in 2007, at a reunion, we came upon a final number of 206 names. So I said, I bought this 2006 Harley-Davidson Ultra Classic, which is the one with the big fairing and the saddlebags and the tour pack.
Had to be a Harley.
Has to be. Well, mm-hmm. That was
if for no other reason than having enough room to put
exactly,
the names on.
Exactly. So when I had the list of names, I went online and I printed them all from the Virtual Wall website, which has the size, the font, the exact name. Took it to two painters who own a company called Paradise Paint out in Bethel Park. And I said, here's what I want. I want these names put on this motorcycle, a solemn tribute. I don't care. It doesn't have to be fancy. I just want it the same color as the wall. And 230 hours later, they finished the bike. I got on it. I picked it up on a Friday. Monday, I left to go to California. I drove it across country. And one of the most moving experiences for me was to be in the middle of Missouri on a sunny day, listening to the 60s on 6, thinking, I just got these guys out of the ground after 45, 50 years. I'm taking them on a ride and they're listening to music. It was so moving. I was crying in the middle of the road.
Sean Elway, you served 4 years in the U.S. Army Reserve. Mm-hmm. As a mother of three young children, you reached out for help from the Veterans Leadership Program. Before we talk about what happened to you there and how you were helped, describe your decision to join the Army Reserve and some of the things that you were called upon to do during your time serving.
Well, the day I decided that I wanted to join the military, I was in high school. I went to Shenley High School. I was sitting in English class on the third floor, and 9/11 was transpiring. When the school got word of the airplanes hitting the building, they wanted to evacuate the students and get the students out of the building. And my English teacher had left out, and I was following him, and he evacuated the kids out. And when he went back in, I was begging him, like, tell me what's going on, what's going on, what's going on. And he went and got a TV that was on a roller cart, and he pulled it in his room and plugged it in, and we stood there and watched the news, and we got the information about what was going on. And I just stood there. I was perplexed. I just watched the news repeat what was going on time after time, and I decided that I wanted to go to war in that moment. And my grandfather, he served in Desert Storm. No, I'm sorry. My father served in Desert Storm, and my grandfather served in the Vietnam. And I'm my mom's oldest child, and I only have sisters, so I just thought that it was appropriate for me to be the next person in my family to join the military. And then I just have this great love for my country. Although I'm a Black woman, I like to identify myself as a United American, and that's just it. I have on my both sides of my family, I have grandfathers that are Native and white, and then I have Black family members. So when I'm with my family, it's just this big pool of beautiful people, all different shades. So I just wanted to stand up and fight for what I love. I love my country.
So after you joined the reserves, then what happened? What were you assigned to do?
I picked an MOS.
And what is that?
92 Sierra, laundry and textile specialist. It had a nice sign-on bonus attached to it, and I come from a low-income family, so I figured that it would be a nice bonus that I could receive and send home to help my mother and my sisters out.
And were you sent overseas?
No, I didn't get a chance to go overseas. I was trying to angle myself to get attached to a unit that would go overseas, and I thought a hospital would be that, and they didn't get a chance to deploy.
But you served a pretty long stretch in the reserves. 4 years is plenty of time. And then what happened? You definitely had some struggles.
Yes, I had got pregnant with my first child during my last year, enlisted in the reserves. I didn't want to, I kind of had this bond with her, and I wasn't married, and they asked you to sign family care plans and different things like that, and I didn't really have anyone mentally or financially stable that I thought would be able to care for her when I went overseas. So when it was time for me to get out, I just accepted my departure, and I separated from the military. After that, I was doing okay. I was working around the city, doing what I loved, working in the culinary field, and things just started to change. The company that I work for, they closed their restaurant down, they downsized, and I was just trying to keep going and keep making a way for me and my kids. And things started to change in this Pittsburgh region where it got harder and harder to find reasonable housing for, you know, a reasonable amount. And I just exhausted all my funds. And one day I couldn't pay my rent anymore.
So there you were, someone who had served her country, and you were in this, you were facing a housing crisis. You were trying to put a roof over your family's heads and put food on the table. So describe how the Veterans Leadership Program helped you to stabilize your life.
They helped me. First, I was staying in a really, really cheap hotel. I mean, I was paying almost $30 a night. There was bugs. There was different things. Being someone who was enlisted in the military, people look up to you. And you have this thing called pride. And you don't want to say, like, hey, I need help. Because usually everyone looks to you for help. So someone that I knew someone who worked at VLP. They mentioned to them the situation that I was in. They reached out to me and they said, you really need to go. And for a while, I dragged my feet. I didn't want to go. And I'm like, well, I'm going to get it together. I'm going to get a job. You know, give me a couple more days. I'll be okay. You know, I don't need the help. That help is there for people who are in bad situations. And it never clicked that I was in a bad situation until I was like down to my last $2. I finally took that and caught the bus down to VLP. And then that's when I started to receive help. I got help with credit counseling and budgeting, financial budgeting, help with job training and, you know, trying to find a better job. They actually housed me in a shelter, but this wasn't just your typical shelter. It was a townhome in the community of Millville, and it was a home that they remodeled, completely remodeled. It was a upstairs and downstairs duplex, and it was basically something that I would try to look to rent, and it was their version of a shelter. I stayed there for almost a year. While I was there, I was able to find another job, and what I used my income toward was to pay off any back debt that I had and to clear up my debt, because it was clear to become financially stable, I would have to, A, get that debt cleared up to sure. really be able to stand on my own.
And how is life for you now?
Life is good. I literally went from homeless in a homeless shelter to a homeowner. I own a beautiful home in the community of Church Hill. I'm around some very lovely people. The home that I was built in the 1940s for Vietnam veterans. It's a little cul-de-sac, and I did some research on my home and the guy who came home to my home and his family, and it's just an honor to even be in the home.
Joe Wadlow, there are plenty of stories like this out there, and you're one of those. You're part of a group of veterans that really reaches out to help fellow veterans. Talk about some of the ways that that is ongoing and some of the other things you've been involved with.
Well, I like to think that I can help anybody, and I sometimes try to help too many, but I can't help it. I've been blessed. Financially, I'm in a position where I can help people. But as I said to Ken Carlson from VLP, we were talking about it, I said, you don't have to have a big wallet. You just have to have a big heart. And that's where I'm coming from. So I hear stories. I talk to people. I network. I like to get back in touch with people and do what a lot of people don't do these days, which is follow up. So I met John Perry from Pennies from Heaven, got involved with his organization. I got involved with Operation Troop Appreciation, where we package care packages up to send to our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Fall of Marine Memorial Run, we raised money. We raised $25,000 for a scholarship fund for a 3-year-old boy whose father was killed in Iraq. That unfortunately only lasted about 3 years, and we went our separate ways. And I got involved with an organization called the Wounded Hero Hunting Camp. And we take veterans from the current wars, mostly disabled veterans, on fishing trips, duck hunts, deer hunting, trap shoots. We just did a trap shoot last weekend in Warrendale, Pennsylvania, we raised over $20,000 in one day. And we used that money to buy track chairs for veterans returning to mobilize them.
Well, it's an amazing story. And I want to thank both of you for joining us to share your stories with us as we get closer to Memorial Day and think about those who have died in service to our country. And of course, there are the folks that are here walking with us who we also are concerned about. And certainly, Joe, you've done a great deal to help them. And I'm sure that they're very grateful. We're very grateful for your being here. Again, Joe Wadlow is the founder of the Fallen Marine Motorcycle Run, a Vietnam veteran, U.S. Marine Corps Staff Sergeant. Joe, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Paul.
We appreciate it. And also Shawnell Wade, who is a veteran of the U.S. Army and who joined us and shared her story in studio. Thank you, Shawnell.
Thank you.
Coming up, what is a death cafe and why is one opening up in Shadyside? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.